Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, this weekend is the Lyric Opera's Chicago Voices Concert. This is a highly anticipated event. It's been talked about for a while now. It's being put on by the Lyric to support and showcase the diverse musical talent that Chicago has helped nurture over the years. The concert is going to feature Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child, John Prine, blues great Shamika Copeland, and my next guest, the Americana sensation, The Handsome Family.
From the dusty mesa, a looming shadow grows, hidden in the branches of the poison creoso. She twines her spines up slowly towards the boiling sun, and when I touched her skin, my fingers ran with blood.
In the hushing dusk under a swollen silver moon, I came walking with the wind to watch the
If you aren't familiar with The Handsome Family, you're missing out. But you probably know the track we just played, as it was a theme song from the first season of True Detective on HBO. The Handsome Family spent years here in Chicago. The husband and wife duo, Brett and Rennie Sparks, are currently living in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Their latest album is called Unseen, and Brett and Rennie join me now. Thanks so much for taking some time out. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Hello. Howdy.
So how you guys spending so much time, that you know, a good chunk of your career in Chicago, what's it mean to be on stage at a place like the Lyric Opera?
Oh, it's fabulous. It's just a stage that I think of as like,
well,
a palace.
It's the room.
Some really beautiful shows there, you know, opera, but I never thought I would actually stand on it, so it's going to be pretty exciting.
You know, for you guys, I mean, you've played a lot of big stages in your career. To play something like the Lyric Opera, I mean, because you've done everything from, you know, back rooms of bars to, you know, to bigger palace type places. But to play an opera stage, I mean, a stage that, you know, houses as many as it does here at the Lyric, do you approach your music in a different way?
I don't think you really can. I think it's best to just focus on the first two rows of people and kind of try to sing to them. And to me, it's more helpful if I think I'm still, you know, at the Czar Bar, Phyllis's Musical Inn. No, that's not true. But I think it does help if you pull it back. And if that, usually that's what happens anyway. I mean, the first time we played to a really big crowd, I think it was Prospect Park for a Leonard Cohen show a long time ago. Mm. And I think there were 20,000 people there. And I mean, it really freaks you out. But once you sing the first couple of lines and start just focusing on the people that are immediately in front of you, it's fine. You know, it's like you're in your living room. You have to project, but it's I think it's best if you just think about it if, you know, you're hanging out in your garage with your friends playing.
I would say one thing that's different is when you play in a really big theater, I've noticed that when people clap afterwards, that the clapping of a lot of people, like over 1,000 people, is such an experience.
Yeah.
Way different than having someone clap and go, hey, nice job. It's really powerful feeling.
Or people to talk over you while you're playing
the
bar.
Which we've done all of. But yeah, it's a great feeling, and it's really, I feel really fortunate when every time I get to experience it.
Brett, you mentioned some of those places, you know, the Czar Bar, of course, and Phyllis's. You know, take us back to your days in Chicago, you know, as you guys were starting out and playing in the scene here. I guess it wasn't all country. We're kind of talking about that. I mean, it was they didn't really have a category for the music that you guys were playing.
When everything started, there was there were bands like Freakwater that were kind of doing. I was a big fan of theirs because they were doing like smart country music that kind of addressed bigger issues and were, you know, it was like indie rock mixed with country and a lot of other elements.
You could tell they'd heard their old songs.
Yeah, and, you know, it had roots, and there were a lot of bands like that that were kind of invisible and under the radar. And Bloodshot Records kind of took a lot of those people and gathered them together I think there was a compilation came out in 1995. People like John Langford, and there were bands like Trailer Bride. There were a lot of bands, a lot more than
it was a great time to be a beginning musician, that's for sure. A lot of inspiring people and a lot of really helpful people.
And then, I mean, in Wicker Park, you could, in the 90s, you could just basically, we did 1 week where we just toured Division Street.
You know,
we played every single night on Division Street. It was like Phyllis's, the Bop Shop, the Gold Star Bar.
The Hot House.
Yeah, right.
It's like you could do every other door was like a gig.
We probably
made about
20 bucks in total.
In the world, but they were gigs.
Back then, I was really excited when I got a free beer after the show. I would be like, wow, this is it. I have made it.
Well,
that was about all my sites were focused on.
It's such an interesting, I mean, think about what is now considered Americana or all country, especially in Chicago. Chicago rivals places like Nashville and other places that, as sort of like a real scene for an alternative country Americana sound. Are you surprised by that?
Definitely.
Are you surprised by that, being from Chicago and not being here now?
Well, when we were there, it was like that too. I think it is like it's a crossroads. So there's a lot of people coming from the south, from the west, from the east. You know, it is all the trains run to Chicago.
Yeah, it's a cultural hub. And it's the Midwest has a different kind of feel, you know. And
I would say it's got its own sound, really.
It's not an accident that like John Langford ended up there from all the way from Wales, you know. Mm-hmm. And Robbie Fulks is there.
There's something about all those cornfields that surround the city. I think they have an effect.
The Hanson family are going to be playing at the Lyric Opera's Chicago Voices concert this weekend. On Saturday, and you know, we're talking with Brett and Rennie Sparks of the Hanson family, who are now currently living in Albuquerque but lived here in Chicago as part of the scene for a long time. What I love about your music, I mean, you guys do original country music, but I want to ask you this. I mean, you do the murder ballads, and in a fun way that, you know, so many musicians will write original music based on their own experiences. You know, we have singer-songwriters out all the time.
It's not my experience.
Yeah, right. But you guys excel at telling these fictional tales, unwinding narratives. Talk about that. Talk about the art form of creating music that doesn't necessarily come from your own experiences.
Well, I don't know where the idea came from that you have to experience everything you make in art. I mean, paintings don't have to be landscapes. They can be from inside your head. And when we dream, we don't always dream what happened the day before or what we'd like to happen. Sometimes we dream about living an entirely different life. So stories are really helpful, I think. We like to hear stories, and I like to tell stories. And I think every time you pick up a book and you read a piece of fiction, you get to live another life. So I like to think of our songs as just a little dip into another life for a second.
The first thing that really kind of like sent us off on songwriting was early country music, and was like the anthology of American folk music, the Harry Smith thing. And I mean, all those songs are story songs. They're all stories. They teach lessons, they deliver news, blah blah blah. But most of them aren't these self-referential, like, oh, look at me, I hurt.
It's a fairly modern idea,
you know?
That we need to hear pages from our diary. I always like to say that if you look on the cave walls in France, you don't see pictures of, like, here we are in front of our, you know, in our cave with our fire, and this is what we ate tonight.
Pictures
you see gods and monsters, and that's what I always like to conjure, gods and monsters. That's what we need to hear and what we need to sing about. You know, we don't necessarily need to read from our diary.
Well, if you look at, like, John Prine, we're listening to John Prine today in preparation for the show. And he's singing a song about, you know, Muhlenberg County. And it's kind of autobiographical, but it's also a story, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you could weave those two things together, you know, a story and personal experience, then you really have something wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of what Springsteen does in a way. That's what a lot of great folk songwriters would do, and how, where the approach comes from.
So. I think my goal is in 100 years for our songs to be known as written by anonymous. That would be
Who wrote this song?
It just must be as old as the hills. That's what I'm hoping.
When you approach the work that way, and it's fascinating to think about. You know, I mean, you are on a blending storytelling or even, you know, fiction writing with music in a very, I think, a very intriguing concept, and it's a concept that's been done throughout history. But when you put out the album, when you put out Unseen, do you continue to evolve as musicians and as storytellers and as writers? I mean, do you start to find yourself telling more specific type stories? I mean, how does your music evolve from album to album?
To me, it's a minor miracle anytime I finish anything. So I don't have I'm nobody steering this ship. I'm just praying to some demons to let me have some, you know, another creative moment.
Help me.
I don't know. Brett, what's your angle?
I think a lot of it has to do with the way that we work. I hate to say it's our process.
It's okay. But I forgive you.
I mean, it's Rennie writes the lyrics and I write the music, and it's almost 50-50. Sometimes it's 51, you know, but it's pretty clearly divided. So I think a lot of personality-driven songs, like, you know, songs about unrequited love and songs about me, are kind of jam songs that people sit down and figure out the music to and jam to, and then they start singing about themselves. That's kind of the natural way
to
work.
I forbid jamming in our house.
But, I mean, my wife is, when I met Rennie, we were married for 5 years before we ever wrote a song together. Hmm. So, and she was always writing short stories, and I was always working on music, blah, blah, blah.
To be fair, the beer was really cheap in Chicago back then. We were quite distracted.
So, one day I was just like, can you revise these lyrics for me? And everything kind of took off. But, I mean, Rennie's background is as a writer and as somebody that writes short stories. So the lyrics are going to have, they come from a different origin.
And you can feel that. You can feel that in
It's great for me because I have this huge, sonorous male voice I get to have tell my story. So
that's weird,
gives
too.
Me a voice of authority.
So you have a woman writing short stories, and then it's sung through like this, a man singing baritone.
That's right.
From a New Yorker, and then I'm, you know, from Texas, and I'm singing this kind of, whatever.
Well, it works.
Bally dark thing.
Coming back to Chicago on Saturday, I mean, you'll have other shows and you keep moving throughout your tour. But do you have plans? When you come to Chicago, do you make a couple extra plans to go back to your old haunts and re-experience your time in Chicago?
I think whenever I have free time in Chicago, I always want to go to the Hideout. That's my plan. I don't always get a time to go there. Hideout in as many stores as possible.
We went to a wedding last weekend and we stayed in Wicker Park and it was just like a mind blower. You know, just it's been so long and everything's so different and so.
A tour of Division Street would be much different now.
Exactly the same at the same time.
There weren't any street lights when we lived on Division Street.
Now they're all over the place.
Now it's fine, but we like to go around and point at things and, you know, go in. But immediately I get into the old man mode
where it's
like, I remember when we used
we
to
bought a pitcher of beer for a nickel.
Records that were 12 inches wide and played with needles, you know. I get like, I can't, these damn kids with their tacos. What's going on with that?
I do remember fondly there was a bar downtown that we used to go to. And
it was Nelson Algren Bar, totally.
Yeah, that's Chicago. It was a bar where no matter what you ordered, you got a free cup of cabbage soup.
Cabbage soup.
Even
it was great.
If you ordered a cup of cabbage soup, you would get two cups of cabbage soup. It was fine cabbage soup.
You get a drink, a stiff drink, and a bowl of cabbage soup.
There you
go. I was living.
The Handsome Family is going to be at the Lyric Opera Chicago Voices Concert this Saturday. The husband and wife duo, Brett and Rennie Sparks, are the Handsome Family. Their latest album is called Unseen. I can't thank you guys enough for taking some time out to talk to us tonight. Thanks so much.
Thank you.